Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. I have to go to Toledo on Saturday with the two techs. They have a special thing for their grandson. So if you try to call me Saturday, we won't be gone. Pastor Dave is going to be here because we got that soul winning going. He'll be here. But they have a special, their grandson graduated out of high school, and they're a big part of our family, and they really want us to be there. Preacher very seldom ever does any stuff like that. Kind of one of those things, it's almost like a family thing, you have to do it. But we'll be back late. All righty. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 1 tonight. I did start this a couple weeks ago. But there's a lot of people talk about about forgiveness of sin. We'll get into that a whole lot tonight, and so let's look at 1 John chapter one and look at verse 5. This then, by the way, in verse 4 was, remember we closed with verse 4. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. And we talked about these people actually saw the word. They saw Christ. They handled Christ. They heard Christ. Remember the last time we were talking about this? And when you have Christ in your life, in the fullness of Christ, you will have joy. Then look at verse 5. This then is the message which we've heard of him. That's the message we got to take out, not the message from us, the message from Christ. People need to hear from us. They need to hear from Jesus. And declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Because how could we be in light if God's all light and we're walking in light? And if we're out in deep sin, if we're out in deep sin, how can we say we're walking with the light? Hello? You're either in light or darkness. It's either sunshine or clouds. How many are with me? And people have said to me, "Oh, I'm walking close to God," yet their life is out in deep sin. They're deceiving themselves. Because when we walk in sin, now we all sin. And I'm going to talk about sin in just a minute here. Everybody sins. Only one never sinned was Jesus. Jesus never sinned. But all of us sin. But if we despitefully turn our back on God and walk in deep sin, we're not walking in light. Are you with me? Now look at verse 7, because that's where I'm going to start getting into stuff. By the way, Christ is the light of the world, isn't he? Matthew 5:14-16 says, "We're the lights. We're to shine bright that men might see our good works and glorify our Father." And that's what soul winning's all about, shining the light, bringing people that are in darkness into light. That's why Christ came. He brought light to a dark world. Amen? And we're to bring light to a dark world. And by the way, this world's getting darker and darker all the time. And more sinful, more evil, more corrupt. And so we as the children of God, we have to shine forth bright to try to bring Christ to a lost world. Amen? Now notice verse 7. "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light," he is the light too, by the way, "we have," watch this, "fellowship," one with, circle that word fellowship. Because tonight, Eddie, and you've heard this over and over, you've taught it. I'm going to talk to you about fellowship and sonship tonight. There's a difference between sonship and fellowship. You can have sonship, but not have fellowship. Because you can fall out of fellowship. You can't fall out of sonship. For instance, My son, David Richard, a lot of times he does things that make me very happy. Then our fellowship is in real, we got good fellowship. But if David Richard would do something bad and it would make me mad, our fellowship would be broken. But is he still my son? He'll always be my son. No matter what David Richard, and I'll always love him. David Richard's my son, and he'll be my son forever. No matter what he does, he's always my son. For good or bad, he's always my son. How many are with me? Well, I'm going to show you in the scripture. When you got saved, you became a child of God. You're always, once you become a child of God, you're always a child of God. The sonship is forever. But we can break the fellowship. Hello? I had a great day with my boy yesterday. And we have great fellowship. We're going to be, next Tuesday, we're going to go out and have breakfast together. And we're going to, he runs a Chevrolet dealership out there in Akron now. And we're going to go, he's going to go buy some cars. I'm going to go with him to the auction. I'm not going to buy, I'm just going to be there with him. I'm not going to be doing, but because he knows I like auctions, you know. And then we're going to go, I think we're going to go to a pizza place afterwards, you know. This is a nice pizza, you know. And so, and we're going to have great fellowship. You know, and I love my son beyond measure. I would die for my son. And I know you would die for your children. But there are times that even as much as we love our kids, sometimes our kids do things that break the fellowship. And I'm using my son David as an example so you can understand. Just like me and David, our father, son, we have a father in heaven. And we're his child. How many are with me? And so tonight we're going to talk about sonship. If you got a paper, you can put on one side, put sonship. On the other side, put fellowship. You know, sonship is forever. Fellowship is a daily walk. Are you with me? Well, let's look at this. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, boy, Mike, I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm glad we're starting, both of us are, we're both still kicking, Mike, amen. We're coming back. We're like what was that guy? Rocky, or whatever his name was. What was his name? Rocky Balboa. We're back up. We're coming back, amen. And Grandma Whitaker, it's so good to see Grandma Whitaker here. God bless her, so glad. But look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, I want you to see the last verse. We have fellowship one with another. But notice what that fellowship's determined on. The fellowship's determined if we walk in the light. You get in the darkness, you don't have the fellowship no more. For instance, I guarantee you, if little Lukey throws a ball through the window, he's David Williams' son, but that fellowship is more than the window being broken. That fellowship is going to be broken. And I think something on Lukey's eternal security might be broken, his little rear end. So what I'm trying to say is fellowship and sonship are two different things. Amen? But look at that verse. If we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, look what it says there, cleanses us from what? All sin. God forgave you when you got saved, when you asked Christ to save you, he forgave every sin that you've ever had, past, present, and future. Every one of those sins, Brother Billy, every sin that you and I and Carol ever commit. Did you know that 2,000 years ago, Christ died on the cross for them? Brother Coolidge, Jesus prepaid for our sins. He shed all that blood, and God forgave us of all that. When we received Christ, that blood was applied to us. Notice what it says there. And he, look at verse 7, and his son cleanses from all sin. He cleanses with his blood. And I'll show you that in just 1 minute. And so we, if you look at, look at, you're right there, First John, turn back one book. Look at 1 Peter. look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Familiar scriptures. Verse 18 through 20. For how many got 1 Peter 1:18? For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the what? Precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these times for you. Not only were our sins appropriated for by Christ's blood, it was known before Adam and Eve were ever made. It was foreordained that Christ would die for us before the world began. That'll blow your mind. Whew. He loved us before we ever existed. Wow. Isn't that exciting? While you're there, turn back another book. Go back to Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. You know, if you don't shed the blood, there's no remission. But Christ did shed it. Hallelujah. And what I want, and then turn, look at Hebrews 10:17. And that blood, Miss Robin, covered all our sins. I'm going to make a point here in just 1 minute. I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm driving a nail in because I'm going to make a point here in just a few minutes here. Look at Hebrews 10:17. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Why don't he remember them? Because they're covered by the blood. They've been paid for by the blood. God doesn't see him no more. Look up here. And I've showed this 100 times. Here's me and all my sins. And then Jesus Christ died and saved me. When I was 20 years old, I asked Christ to save me. And that blood was applied. Now when God sees me, he sees me as pure like Christ. Christ had no sin, right? So he sees me with the righteousness. The Bible says that when I got saved, Romans teaches us that we got the imputed righteousness from Christ. That's why it says in Romans 4:8, don't turn to it. I'm just quoting scripture. I didn't write it down. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He will not charge you for sin. The reason he's not going to charge me for sin, because he already charged Jesus. See, it's all sins are being paid for, but Christ already paid for them. But when God the Father looks upon me, all he sees is the imputed righteousness of Christ. So I look perfect, no sin. Isn't that great? But boy, if you saw me without the blood, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I've got a perfect heavenly standing. Matter of fact, my citizenship's already in heaven. Matter of fact, God says, I'm already there, even though I'm not there yet. He always says, those are things that are not as though they already are. I like that. It's good for a guy like me, especially with my kind of temper. If I'd have been God, I'd have killed me already. So would you. Rosie's thought about it lots of times. Now, I have a perfect standing in heaven. But my daily walk is different. Look what it says there in Hebrews 10:17. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now let me plant a foundation with you, and then I'm going to show you some stuff. Go over to the Old Testament and look at Psalms 103. Psalms 103. out in the middle of your Bible. And look at verse 10 through 14. How many's got Psalms 103, verse 10 through 14? He hath not dealt with us after our sins. No, because if he would have, we'd all be going to hell. How many are glad for mercy? How many are glad for grace? He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Look at this now. As far as east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. If Carl went east and Johnny went west, those are endless points. You just keep going on forever. You just keep going on. There's no end. Well, that's how God says, you see your sins? I've cast them away forever. They're no more. I'll never see your sins again. They're gone forever. I've forgiven you. Isn't that exciting? Look at verse 14. For he knoweth our frame. He remembered that we're just dust. All we are is a bunch of dust bags. All we are is a bunch of dirt. Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. That's talking about Adam. And we all come from Adam. And we just come from, that's why we go back. You ever notice people go back to dust? That's what we're made out of. Boy, God's word always right there, isn't it? And let's stay with me now. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. You say, well, preacher, if my sins are all forgiven, how come I keep sinning? I'll show you that in a minute. I'm still working on a foundation here. John 1:12. John 1:12 and 13. But as many, how many got the Gospel of John chapter 1? But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Have you received him? Well, then you became a child of God. Even to them that believed on his name. Watch this. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Ain't got nothing to do with the flesh. Nor of the will of man, but of God. The birth that you got was from your mother is an earthly birth. But the new birth is from heaven. It's of God, of the Spirit. How many are with me? And God says, once you're born again, once you're his child, you're my child forever. Just like Kenny White and Eddie White are your boys forever. You might, there's times Eddie wants to kill little Eddie. I think there's times Lizzie's wanting to kill big Eddie. But I have to stay on father-son thing. There's times that little Eddie has just drove big Eddie literally nuts. I mean, he just went, you knucklehead, you know? And because little Eddie is a knucklehead. He's a chip off the old block. But no matter what little Eddie does, how old's little Eddie? 26 years ago, Lizzie bore him in a hospital. He came out, and the time he was born from you and Lizzie, he's your son forever now. Because he was born of you of the flesh. Are you still with me? That's what that scripture teaches over in John 3. I didn't have that plan. Where it says, now the water. Is that verse 5? Look at 3:5. I didn't have this plan. Look at 3:5. Jesus, look at John 3. How many got John 3:5? Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water." See, when Lizzie's water sack broke and little Eddie came out, except a man be born of water, earthly birth, and of the Spirit, he can. That's talking about look up here, Emma. That's talking about an earthly birth and a heavenly birth. The water is the earthly birth. The Spirit is a heavenly birth. How many are with me? There's two births there. There's an earthly and a heavenly. The water is an earthly. Okay, now, no matter what little Eddie does, he's always going to be their son. For good or bad, he's going to be their son. He can't change it. Now, once you get born of God, no matter if you do bad or good, it doesn't matter. See, because a lot of people say, "Well, I'm not going to get to heaven. I've lost my salvation. Preacher, after I got saved, I've messed up." I'm going to tell you something. We all mess up. Ain't no one doesn't mess up. Everybody messes up. Hello? And if you say you have no sin, the Bible says, and I'll get back to it later in the 1 John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Hello? But what's so great about God is this. See, a lot of people think, "Well, I lost my salvation." A lot of people think they lost it. They never got it. Because once you get it, you got Christ in your heart. Holy Spirit is in us. That Holy Spirit lets you know that you're a child of God. And because it cries, "Abba, Father," within you. You know, like, when I was lost, I didn't care about people going to hell. I didn't think about hell. I didn't care about drinking. I wanted to drink. I mean, I haven't drank alcohol for almost 30, 40 years, probably 40 years now. Yeah, 40 some years, at least 40 years. Now, let me tell you something. I had a desire for some reason after I got saved. I had a desire. By the way, I drank some alcohol after I got saved. Does that mean I'm not going to go to heaven? No, I'm going to heaven. Because it didn't matter if I drank alcohol or didn't drink. Once I trusted Christ my Savior, I'm on my way to heaven. Now, when I was drinking, I was out of fellowship with God. But I still was His son. Hello? How many are with me? I'm trying to get you where you understand. See, once you get saved, you're always saved. I'm trying to work up that truth first. I'm going to get to the fallen nature. The reason we sin after we're saved, we've got a fallen nature. It's horrible. It's bad. Paul had to deal with it all the time. Paul said, "Man, what I want to do, I don't." In Romans chapter 7, he says, "What I want to do, I don't do, and what I don't want to do, I do." Right. Hello? Look, are you still in John with me? Look at John chapter 5, verse 24. You cannot lose your salvation. You lose your fellowship. Once you're a child of God, your sonship's sealed forever. But your fellowship isn't. And once you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. But on this earth, your joy is not going to be fulfilled if you don't walk with the Lord. Look up here. I have never seen a Christian out of the will of God happy. That's the most happiest Christians are the people serving God, walking with God, serving God, living a holy life as much best. But look, none of us are. Let's think of holy, holy, holy. Don't get around me, man. I'll slap you upside the head. You ain't holy. Ain't none of us holy. Only thing holy about you is your socks. Some of you don't even wear them because you're from West Virginia. You don't wear socks. You don't even wear shoes. Hello? Come on. Look at John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my... Are you in John 5:24? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath, that's a past tense. Is that right? Am I doing right in English here? Hath What kind of word do they call that, Ruthie? Is that a verb or hath? A noun? Yes. Hath, look at that, hath everlasting life. You've already got it. Look up. He that, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Woo-hoo! Hey, Brother McIver, I was going this way. I was a lost sinner. And I was on my way to hell. And one day I heard about Jesus. And I got saved. And you know what? I was going this way, and I was getting ready to plunge into hell. I was just one heartbeat from hell. Because the only thing separates people from life and death is just one heartbeat. Right? We were talking to Brother Coolidge. We were talking about when I drove a car going 140 miles an hour when I was lost. Oh. Now, you don't want to drive a car going 140. He drove a motorcycle going 140. If I remember, but was it you that told me 140? I'm coming, Bertha. You know, but I never got that fast on a motorcycle. I did ride a motorcycle. But I had a Dodge that I drove. You drive 140 miles in a car. First of all, I mean, you just can't believe those little signs. It's so fast, it's unbelievable. Don't try it, Eddie.
Yes.
You haven't done it already. And that car, Steve, that car actually will start to float. I mean, it just floats, man. Now, Johnny was a young kid, 17 years old, okay? And I was drinking. If I would have died right, you realize how easy it could have been for me to get killed? I'd have been dead. I would have plunged right off into hell. I would have plunged into hell. I was in gang fights. I was in all kinds of stuff. I could tell you stories. Just anything, I could have plunged into hell. I had people pull knives on me. I had people pull guns on me. I'm just glad they didn't shoot me, Eddie. Eddie, I had a guy as close as Lizzie as you pull a gun on me. He said, I'm going to shoot you. And I convinced him not to shoot me. You said, what did you have to? I got out of that bar.
Amen.
I didn't go back to that bar for a couple of weeks. But if he'd have shot me then, I would have plunged into hell. Because I was on my way to hell. But that night in 1969, 1034 North Sherman Street, in front of that little green couch that I paid $110 for, Lampner, I asked Christ to save me, and I passed. I passed from death unto life.
Amen.
Yes.
See, I was here. I was in the land of death. When I was lost, and so was everybody else. I was lost on my way to hell. I was dead in my sins. That's what Ephesians says, he who's quickened you, we're dead in trespass and sin. He quickened me. He brought me to life. Are you with me? But I passed, Daddy. Now, I've been on this side for a long time. 40-some years. 42 years. I've sinned a lot. I've sinned a lot in 42 years. But you know what? I'm still here on this side.
Yes.
See, a lot of people say, no, I'm not telling you about sins. Hey, I can sin. I'm going to have it anyway. I'm not teaching you that. But I'm telling you, no one's perfect. Hello? I've sinned watching the Cleveland Indians. I've sinned watching the Cavaliers. I've sinned watching the football team. Matter of fact, I've sinned. Man, they lose so much here. How can you not quit from sinning? I hate to lose. Oh, Lord, you know my heart. How many are getting what I'm trying to teach you? God don't want us to sin, but when I did sin, it breaks the fellowship.
Yes.
Am I making sense to anybody?
Yes.
See, I wasn't God's child over there. And there was no doubt of it. I said, God, forgive me for getting mad. By the way, we all prayed even when we weren't saved. Mm-hmm.
But that didn't get you saved.
Right.
Hello? God, please let me hit the lottery tomorrow. Or God, help. Hello? God, help me to get that car. Hello? God, help me to win things. How many, even when I prayed to God and I died and when I was over here, I'd have plunged into hell. Because I was not God's child. But once that very moment at 1034 on Ann Sherman Street, Upper Duplex, that very night I trusted Christ in front of my Savior, as my Savior in front of that old green couch, I passed from death unto life. And I've been a child of God ever since. I've not been a perfect one. And I've done a lot of things. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad, even though I wasn't faithful to God, God's always been faithful to me.
Amen.
Hello? Now, how many are you still with me? I got you in John chapter 5, verse 24, right?
Right.
Look at that scripture one more time. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he says, who's he saying it to? You. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, have you heard his word, and hath everlasting life. You want to call God a liar? These people say you can lose your salvation. They're calling God a liar. Because God promises everlasting life. I'm going to take what God says. You can't lose it. The people that are working their way to heaven are not going to heaven. Because I'm not counting on my works. Because the Bible says all my works are but filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. It's all 100% faith in Christ. That's why a lot of people they got faith in a baptism. They got faith in church membership. They got faith in good works. That's not going to get you to heaven. And that's why those people say, well, I dropped out of church. I dropped out of my salvation. A lot of people say, well, I hope I make it. I don't hope I make it. I know I'm going to make it. Look up here. Every one of you that's saved here, you should know beyond a shadow of doubt you're going to make it. Because you say, well, boy, you seem pretty adamant about that. God's word is adamant about it. He said that I just believe God's word. Do you believe God's word? Well, then take it at his word. He said, look what it says there. You have passed from death. Look what it says. Heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Hath everlasting. He's already got it past tense. Not gonna. Past tense. Hath. You've already got it. And shall not come into condemnation. But has passed from death unto life. Wow. What a statement. You say, how can I believe that? Just believe it because God's word says it. If I ever teach Romans again, you can take my course now. I'll give you a whole 8-month course on how you can believe it from the book of Romans. By the way, let's look at one verse in Romans. Look at Romans 8, look at 8:1. Not to remind me of it. I should have that written down here. Look at Romans 8:1. I know we're running out of time. You know, I know I'm not telling you nothing you don't know, but it's good that you hear this once in a while. Because I'm going to tell you, Satan works on people, even the best of people. How many got Romans 8:1? There is therefore now no condemnation. We just talked about that in 5:24, John. You pass, there's no condemnation. How many are with me? There's now no condemnation. Then that walk which them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not the flesh but after the Spirit, because you can't walk in spirit unless you have it. And you get the Spirit of God the moment you're saved. The very moment you get saved, you get the Spirit of God. Jesus said, I won't leave you comfortless in John chapter 14. And he said, I'll send the Comforter. And he did. It's the Holy Spirit. That's what grieves your heart when you say, oh man, I don't know if, like Lizzie yells at Eddie or knocks him in the head and say, boy, maybe I shouldn't have done that. It's the Holy Spirit grieving in her heart.
I should have used a heavier one. No. He's still walking. No, I'm just kidding. But Eddie's saying, thank you, Holy Spirit, for saving my life. Or maybe she's getting ready to, and the Holy Spirit said, no, no, Liz, no, no. You know he's a child of God. And, yeah, but Liz says, yeah, but I want to send him to you quicker, COD. COD. She wants to send him dead on arrival. But anyways, there's no condemnation. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. God forgives us of all our sins. Look at 1:7. I mean Galatians. You've got to have Ephesians. In whom we have redemption through is what? The forgiveness of what? According to whose grace? His, the riches of his grace. See, there's no, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's all God, none of us. Look up here. And that's why a lot of people, when they talk about their daily life, they think that they lose their salvation. They're counting on their works. You'll never make it. There's no good thing. There's no good thing in the flesh, the Bible teaches. There's nothing. Our flesh is not good at all. That's why you ever get, how many of you ever get bad thoughts? Or bad, you know, or you say something, say, oh man, after, or you get mad, you say, boy, I can't believe I said that. How many have ever done that? Or you say, man, how could I love that person. How could I think so bad about that? Hello? I could have, there could be a guy that I witnessed to over in this city park and give him a track and pray with him. And 5 minutes later, I'm going down the street, and if I don't know it's the same guy, he runs me up the road, I'll say, you dirty freaking prick, I'll kill you. Hello?
Yep.
One minute you're caring about a soul, the other minute you want to go somewhere else? I mean, you change from up to down real quick?
Yes. Yeah.
How come we can flip that switch so fast? Am I getting home to anybody at all?
Oh, yeah.
We have a fallen nature. The Bible says it's enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's, and that word enmity means worse than hatred. It hates God. That fallen, depraved nature that we are born with, unless we yield to the Spirit of God, we won't get victory. But listen to me. When once a child of God saved, they're saved forever. That's, let me give you two more verses and I'll close. I got to close. Man. Look at, do I have any Ephesians? Look at this, and I'm going to have to close. I ran out of time. But the only thing is, I'm just getting started. That's the bad. I gave you the introduction. I really did. Now the good part's coming, but. Okay, in whom also you trusted after that you were heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. How many see that? You heard, Ephesians 1:13. You heard the word of God. You can't get saved without hearing the word of God. It's impossible to get saved without hearing the word of God. And after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of yourself, in whom also that you believed, once the very moment you believed, you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You, that very moment. I'm not waiting to get the Holy Spirit. I got the moment I got saved. Ephesians 4:30, look at the one more. Ephesians 4:30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Is that what it says there in 4:30? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. You girls are can things. You seal things. God said, I got you sealed till the day, till Jesus comes back and takes you up. That's how long you're sealed for. That means you can't get lost. Because you're saved, and you're sealed saved. You're saved, and he sealed you saved. And no one can break the seal. Hello? Once you're saved, you're a child of God. These people asking God to save them 25 times, that's foolishness. They err from the scripture. I'm not making fun of people. And I'm just telling you, because a lot of, and the reason I'm saying this, a lot of Christians, they doubt their salvation. If you know you're really, if you trusted Christ, you knew you're a lost sinner, and you asked Christ to save you, you're saved. Because what happens is this, and I have to close. And then we'll get into 1 John next time, because I want to get into 1 John 2:1. Because it says, he'll show you that, even though we are children of God. It says, but if you do sin, look at 2:1, I will close. Now I forgot what I was saying, D. I was trying to make a statement. And I have so many things going through my mind, it blows me out. 2:1 of John. My little children, who's he talking to? Born again Christians. Children? How many see that? 1 John 2:1. These things write unto you that you sin not. Oh! Because see, there's some people say we can live sinless perfection. You can't live sinless perfection. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He said, all right, if you do sin, you're gonna. I want you to know I got someone to take care of it. Now, over there in 1 John, we didn't get to finish it. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so you have, the moment you get saved, you have what? Tell me. Sonship. When the moment you get saved, you get what? After you're saved and you have sonship, what is the other thing? Your walk with God is called? Can you ever lose sonship? No, you cannot. Can you break your fellowship?
Yes.
Even if you're in bad fellowship, do you still go to heaven?
Yes.
The Corinthians says, even so saved by fire. 1 Corinthians 3. We'll talk more about that. I might get in and give you a little teaching on how that fallen nature works. Because we have to deal with it all the time. Guys like me with tempers. If I don't keep the Spirit of God, if I don't keep walking with close, I lose my temper. I don't carry a gun. I'm not trying to brag. My preacher does carry, and I'm glad he does. I have guns. And you break in my house at nighttime, I'll shoot you if I don't know who you are. But I don't, I thought about getting a permit to carry. But I have too bad of a temper, Eddie. Because I can't carry, because if I would carry and I lose my temper, I might shoot somebody within 30 days.
Wow.
Because I have a violent temper. Hello?
Yes.
So this way I don't kill nobody, I keep living. Hello?
Yes.
I'll let Sarge do all the killing for me. The Kenyan. Amen. Amen. Satan knows how to get us. See, where I'm strong in some points, he knows my weak points. He knows your weak points. And he always tries it. He won't attack the strong. He'll attack us in our weak areas. That's why we got to try to walk and read our Bible and be filled with the Spirit of God. If I'm filled with the Spirit of God, I wouldn't pull that gun. Hello? Now, by the way, I think it's right to any, if you have a gun, someone tries to hurt your family, you have a right to defend your family.
Yes.
Oh, yes, you do. I'm talking about if you just say, I don't like this guy. No, he cut me off. I'm going to blow a tire out, you know. You can't do that. Sometimes I get so mad at those people up there in Washington. I just want to go up there and just clean house. I mean, literally clean. Crystal clean. I can't tell you how much of clean I want to get it. But I have to let God take care of that. Amen? I love America, and I hate to see what things happen in my country. I'll say this. Years ago when my preacher still was alive, it was about 10 years ago or more, I called Brother Jones, and I said, hey, preacher, because they were actually, believe it or not, preachers were getting beat up on shot. In Toledo, and they really were. There were people getting, a lot of preachers in different areas were getting attacked. And so we had a guy here that was kind of a militant at the time, and he said, you ought to be carrying, preacher, you ought to be carrying. I said, yeah, I ought to be carrying. I'll take him out. I called Brother Jones. That's why you always call. I said, hey, preacher, I'm thinking about getting a gun and carrying it. I mean, getting a permit. I've got guns. And he said, why do you want to do that? I said, protect myself. He said, well, who's protected you for all these 35 years, for 50, 40 years? I said, the Lord. First he started laughing. He said, Brother Rich, you're going to get a gun? Carry a gun with your temper? He was laughing. He said, Rosie will be calling me within 30 days. They'll have you in jail. You'll shoot somebody. He said, no, you can't get a gun permit to carry. You got too much of a temper. Brother Roy Jones. And then I said, oh? He said, well, by the way, just to give you something, who protected you all these other years? And I said, the Lord did. And he said, don't you think he can still keep protecting you? And I said, yes, sir. And I obeyed my pastor. And I didn't get that care. I'm not against carry conceal. I'm just a guy that I know that probably can't do that because of my quick reactions. You know. And not everybody can do that. There's nothing wrong. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. But you've got to be able to control yourself. Hello? And a preacher should be able to control themselves. So I'm working at it. As soon as I can get myself under control, I'm going to get one. Amen. But what I'm trying to tell you, you're right, the rapture, that's when I'll be under control and I won't need it because the Lord, he'll say, never mind, preacher, you don't need it. Come on. Don't let the devil work you over on sin. By the way, I'm not telling you to go out and sin. I hope you don't, I'm not saying, man, just go out. Man, we're all going to heaven, let's just go sin all we want. I'm not telling you to sin. Matter of fact, I'm telling you not to sin. If we're saved, we shouldn't want, it should grieve our heart when we sin. We should want to please our Savior. We should want to walk. And like, my son likes to do things that pleases me. Because he knows it makes his dad feel good. Well, we should want to make our Heavenly Father feel good. Amen? Amen? And that sweet fellowship. If we walk in the light as he is a light. Well, fellowship one with another. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And I'm telling you, there's no sweeter joy walking with the Lord. That's the greatest joy, walking with our Savior. Amen. Don't be a victim of sin. And if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Confess it. Let God cover it. Let God, he's already covered in heaven as far as heaven. But for your walk here, let God take care of that so you can have that fellowship. Amen? Father, forgive me for I failed. Heavenly Father, help us to have that sweet fellowship that you talk about in the Word of God. I know that we're sealed until the day of that redemption. And thank you for eternal life through Christ. But Lord, help us as we walk this daily walk of life. Help us to know you. Help us to serve you. Help us to love you. God, help us to love you with all our heart and soul. Oh God, help me to love you with all my heart and soul, that I would put you first over anything or anyone in the world. God, may you be first in all. May you have preeminence in my life. Help me to yield to the Holy Spirit, so I don't fall to the flesh. God, many times I've fallen to the flesh. Forgive me for my weakness. Help me to be built up in the holy faith of Christ and to yield to the Spirit of God. Help us all, Father, everyone in this room tonight. Give them victory over those things that would come before us. And Lord, if there's anyone here that hasn't been doubting about their salvation, help them not to doubt. Help them have the surety that their salvation. I wonder, with our heads bowed right before we go home, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure. I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I know I'm saved. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know it. Thank you. You may put them down. Is there anyone here to say, Preacher, I'm not sure. Pray for me. Pastor, I'm not sure. Pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Pray for me. No one's looking, and I'm not going to come to you. But I'm wondering why God put this on my heart, and I believe he did. Maybe some of you have been discouraged, and maybe some of you have actually been thinking, am I saved? Maybe you've had some tussle with some sin, and maybe the devil's been working on you and say, preacher, Satan's been working on me, and I've been doubting even some things. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, yes, yes. God bless you. God bless you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Father, help us. Help us, Lord. We live in such a sinful world. There's evil all around us. And we're frail ourselves. Help us, Father, that we would cling to you and get victory over the daily the trials of life. Oh God, just the daily trials of life, battling the flesh and the world. Lord, we can't get it unless we have the fullness of the Spirit of God. Help us to have that fullness. I pray these things in Christ's name. And Lord, you saw the hands of people, both sides of the church here. Help them. Holy Spirit, minister to their heart. Holy Spirit, let them know they're a child of God. Holy Spirit, teach them and show them what you want them to see. Give them victory, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a verse, just one verse. We're just going to, John's going to have thine own way. If you want to come and pray, you come right now. Go ahead and lead us in that song, John. You might be listening to this on the internet, and we're so glad you came to Bethel Baptist website. Let me encourage you, as a pastor of our church here, if you're struggling with sin and doubt about salvation, send us an email to our church, or send me a letter in the mail. Our website and our address is right there on the web. We'll send you some literature. We'll respond to you. I promise I'll do all I can to help you, encourage you back towards the things of God. I want you to know that we care about you at Bethel Baptist, and we pray for you that the Lord would use this website to reach out to people all over the world. We want you to know that you're part of the ministry of Bethel Baptist, and we care about you. Let us know that if we can help, we can help you in any way. God bless you. Trust Christ today if you never have. Just stop right where you're at right now, right where you're at, and ask Christ to save you right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died just for me. Savior, come into my heart. Save my soul. Forgive me of all my sins and save my soul from hell. Take me to heaven when I die. You say that prayer from your heart, God will save you, and you're going to heaven. You'll become a child of God, and that's exactly what God came here for. So everyone in the whole world could become a child of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting. I don't care if you're in Africa. I don't care if you're in Europe. I don't care if you're in Asia. It doesn't matter where you're at. And by the way, we're seeing people from all over the world come to our website. God loves you and he cares about you. And he wants you to trust him as Savior. And that's why he even put us on the website, so you could come and hear about his wonderful love, the wonderful grace of God. It's free. And it's free to you. God bless you. This is Pastor Skyver. We can do anything we can to help you from Bethel Baptist Church. We want to do it. Heavenly Father, again, we pray that you'll bless us and help us as we seek you. We pray your blessings on all that come to this church and all that, Lord, all the many people from different countries and all through the United States. Lord, there's so many where the people are coming to our website. And Father, it just thrills our heart that people are listening. And I pray you'll bless each one. God, bring more, bring thousands of more, and help them to know the truth that would set them free. We'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen.